This Focus with Paul W. Smith podcast is sponsored by Victor's Home Solutions. Visit victors.com, experts in home solutions.
I didn't know what was happening. I thought maybe we had a new theme that no one told me about, but there it is. There's the theme. I thought maybe it could have even been like the Beatles or something.
It's the remix.
The remix of the theme. Put together by the one and only Mike Parsons. The team, Mike Parsons, executive producer, Danielle Mason, running all the controls, pressing all the right switches most of the time, and Rich Luzinski with our WJR traffic and weather first. And I hope that you stream us whenever you can. All the cool kids are streaming these days at WJR.com or the WJR app, and listen to the show whenever you want to. With the podcast, you can hear individual interviews or the entire show thanks to the work of Mike Parsons and his team behind the scenes to put it all there at WJR.com under podcasts. I hope you will do that. And I do like the way, Michael, that you headline the show today.
Yes.
Focus with Paul W. Smith, Monday, April 18th, 2024, Paul's 50th birthday for the 21st time.
Happy Big 5-0 again, Paul.
Thank you very, very much. Thanks for sticking to the story that I've been telling forever, that Sophie was born the day after I turned 50, and tomorrow she'll be 21, and I'll still be 50. I've gotten away with that for, well, I guess 21 years.
Yeah, your 50th birthday is old enough to drink.
Yes, yes, indeed it is, and I could use a stiff one right now.
It's your birthday. No one's going to stop you.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to. I won't even joke about that because some people do struggle with that even at this hour of the day. So I'm not going to joke about it. But, you know, there is so much good that's going on. And I am telling you, I guess it must be because of Facebook, which I do not really participate in except when it pops up on my phone. And then I all of a sudden I'm in it. And then it's gone, and I don't know what happened in the first place. But I'm in there on Facebook, and because of that, I have billions and billions of birthday wishes, so it must say, obviously, on Facebook, it's my birthday. Is that what happens?
Yeah, it shows up in your feed or something like that. It doesn't show up in mine anymore, but somewhere on Facebook, it lets people know it's your birthday because it does the same thing for me in August, and it gets a little overwhelming, but it's nice. It's nice when people take time to wish you happy birthday.
Oh, it's very nice. And to hear from people I haven't heard from in a long time. Hal Grote, you know, the reason I stick with Metro cars are the people. Laith Hermuse is my fabulous driver now, but I've had great drivers in the past, and Hal Grote was one of them. And he sent a note. I haven't heard from Hal forever. He retired a long time ago. And he not only wished me a happy birthday, he remembers that Sophie's birthday is tomorrow, and he wished us both. It's just amazing. I haven't even been able to look at all these things, but I will, and I will endeavor to answer all of them. It's going to take some time. But I see the value in the way that people can stay in touch with each other. And I do see that value. It's all good.
It's always nice to hear from, like, the person you sat next to in chemistry class back in, like, yes, 11th grade. But
yeah, but I don't think any of those people ever contact me because I think they thought I was cheating off their paper. But I wasn't.
They should be. Right. They're like, he cheated off my paper. I should be the guy on WJR right now, not him.
Yeah. I made him who he is, or at least who I was. But nice to have all the birthday wishes and greetings. I really do appreciate it from my heart. It means a lot to me. You are my family, coming through the radio with the people that I work with, the people that are listening, the people who are hating on me, all those people. I love you all, and it's all great. By the way, I have to say this. Yeah, I thought it was going to be the first thing I'd say, but then I wake up and I see all these birthday greetings and all this, which is wonderful. Thank you. But I have to tell you, I don't know if you guys watched it, but I did. I taped it so I could be sure to see it. Mayor Mike Duggan's State of the City address last night was beyond outstanding. It is exactly what one would hope a State of the City, State of the Union address would ever be.
It was a victory lap without being self-aggrandizing.
Absolutely.
I mean, because he's got a lot of great things going on. And to me, the thing I found so interesting was kind of just seeing the process. You know, he's always been a high-level executive, a high-level problem solver, and he kind of brought us in on some of that. He's like, oh, I hired this guy, and we put this and this and this place into place, and then, you know, 2 years later, this problem was solved.
Well, and I have to tell you, see if I can find it now, because, you know, I have a tendency. I should learn this lesson. I used to write all my notes on a legal pad, then I'd lose the legal pad. And here, I lost it. Doggone it. When he ended his speech, I hate to jump right to the end, but when he ended his speech and announced, oh, here it is, right in front of me. And he announced, he talked about a woman that none of us knew.
Yes.
I mean, we wouldn't know, Helen Moore. And we learned through a video that they put together that she has been what one would call an activist for years. She's got to be in her 80s.
I think, and it's always risky getting someone's age wrong.
I think
she was 85.
Well, thank goodness she wasn't like in her 60s or 70s, and I said she was in her 80s. So if she's 85, God bless her, whatever her age is, she's been an activist. She's been somebody who cared about her community. God, I'm going to start crying because I cheered and cried at the end of his speech because he talks about this woman. He shows this woman on a video and all the stuff she's trying to do that's better, not for her, but for the community, for her neighbors, for everybody. And she saved a community center, and he named it, or the city council, and he naming it the Helen Moore Community Center was a spectacular way to end his speech. Don't you think?
Yeah, and the way he got into the story, I thought was really funny, but, you know, with a lot of heart, how he said, he kept getting phone calls saying, oh, it's Helen again. And then every time he looked into something, Helen ended up being right.
Yeah, but she would criticize him. She would say, hey, this is wrong, and why do we have cars abandoned on our street? I bet they don't in Farmington Hills, or whatever he said, and
right.
However it went. And I might even be tying different parts of the speech together, but back to my original point, we are so lucky to have Mayor Mike Duggan. I wish we could transport him elsewhere, like maybe to President of the United States. Now, I know a lot of my Republican conservative friends said, what are you talking about? He's a Democrat. He's a liberal. I would love to have a president again, because we have had them, who speaks as freely, as clearly, as sensibly as he does, without notes.
Right.
Look at our current president. He can't say hello to a world leader without looking down at his notes. Well, Mike Duggan didn't have any notes last night. Well, he had notes on his podium. He wasn't reading a teleprompter. He was not.
Well, and the thing is, like I said, he's a pragmatic problem solver. I mean, he's handed this ball of you-know-what, and he finds a way to untangle it and make it work.
A couple of quick notes. The music's starting already. Meghan Markle is coming out with a lifestyle brand, and her first product appears to be strawberry jam. You know, I don't know. I can't figure these people out. Counterfeit Botox found in several states. I've been against the real Botox for years. It's like botulism, isn't it? Isn't that what Botox is?
Some
and
kind of toxin.
People are using it to get rid of, you know, wrinkles that show you've lived. And here's a big story. I've got so many that we aren't able to get to, but this one, oh, this is a biggie. Dick Hafner, I hope you're listening. He usually listens. There's word in one of these papers today that we might be getting a Buc-ee's finally in Michigan.
I hope.
Can you imagine? I've only heard and read, and somebody got me a Buc-ee's cup. Was it Brian or somebody did? And Dick Hafner loves Buc-ee's. He's the first guy to point it out to me. I hope we're getting a Buc-ee.
It sounds like the Disneyland of gas stations.
It does. That's a great way to put it. The Disneyland of gas stations coming somewhere to Michigan. I hope around us. I don't know. We'll see. There's a lot to talk about today, and we're going to accentuate the positive as much as we can. Relentless Positive Radio with the team, the team, the team here in Focus with Paul W. Smith. All righty. Yes, that's the same Mike Parsons that is our executive producer. Yeah, he works a couple of shifts. He does first thing in the morning from 5 to 6, along with Rene Vitale, as you just heard in that promo. Then he sticks around and helps us with this show, along with Danielle Mason, Rich Luzinski, and a team of people behind the scenes. Hope you're streaming us when you can, WJR.com, the WJR app. Get our podcast. You can listen to our show or individual interviews anytime you find it convenient. Congresswoman Debbie Dingell of Michigan's 6th District is here. She is to just give us an overview of what's going on in Washington, talking about the House Speaker, Mike Johnson, aiming for a weekend vote for Ukraine and Israel funding, and probably fighting to hang on to his job. Good morning, Congresswoman. It's been too long.
Well, actually, Paul W., it would be much nicer to acknowledge that it's afternoon and that it's your birthday. And I want to say happy birthday. And you and I are like big brother, little sister, and you're always older than I am.
Yes.
So I always love saying happy birthday to you.
I know you do. I know you. Did you really remember it was my birthday, or
yes,
did they have to tell you?
Oh,
you did.
Okay. Do I always say to you, what do I always say to you on your birthday?
You always
You're
say I'm always older than
old
you.
Old.
Yeah, yeah.
I am. And a woman, of a certain age likes to be able to give someone grief on
You always say it, and God bless you, and I love you. You are like my little sister, which drives staunch conservatives and Republicans crazy, but that's the way it goes.
But you know what? Maybe we should talk about that for a second, because we got to stop this partisan bickering, this hatred that we are seeing. We are dysfunctional in Washington right now. You want me to talk about what's happening here, and I will talk about what's happening here, but the biggest problem right now is we don't know what's happening here. The speaker is trying to be a leader. I don't agree with him on everything, but Paul W., I'm going to tell you, we are literally, you're hearing this from other people now, at a Churchill or Chamberlain moment. I don't want to sound dramatic, but there are moments, and I feel it. I get scared. I don't sleep. This job is serious. I feel like we could be on the precipice of World War III. I am not a Democrat. You are not a conservative or Republican. I'm an American, and Americans have a role in the global, and what we're watching right now is close to many of the things that we saw before World War II. We cannot let Ukraine fail. If Putin comes in and takes over Ukraine, what is next? So, the speaker has tried to put something forward. He can sell to his caucus. They couldn't get some people probably don't even know what a rule is, but a rule is what allows for consideration on the floor. They had to adjourn last night. There, we did get agreement on condemning Iran. I mean, there were a few dissenters, but the overwhelming majority condemned Iran for the attack of Israel. So we agreed on something this morning significantly, like the majority. I think there were 14 votes against, or Mike, don't quote me anybody on that. But
14, how do 14 people make their way to Washington, D.C. to represent the country, can't see that Iran attacking anybody would be okay?
I don't know. I don't know who they were, and I don't even know if that's a totally accurate number.
Forget that number. Here's what I wanted to say. When you said Washington is dysfunctional, I will agree. But that's not new. What is new to me is it appears our country is dysfunctional. Across these United States of America, we have people seemingly backing terrorists and attacking our friends in Israel. And I'm not sure what's going on. And you worry about World War III. I worry about a second civil war within these United States.
I worry about both. Let me be very clear. I think both are very real. I worry about the outcome of this election in November and what will happen after it. We are letting this hatred to seep in and be normalized into our community. And it's not okay. And it's, you know, probably a lot of different factors. You know, I mean, look, if you're from Southeast Michigan, it's a very complicated time. You have friends, you're Lebanese. You have friends that have had families really hurt. And I've got constituents who lost 40 members of his family. I don't want to see any more innocents die in Gaza. I think where I am is where most people are in this country, or a lot of people. Hamas attack on Israel, one, has a right to exist. I want a two-state solution. Both countries have a right to exist.
Right.
But what Hamas did was a terrorist act. Israel has a right to defend itself, and I think the United States should help support Israel's defense of themselves. I am worried about, I mean, President Biden has warned now more than once, do not escalate this. The killing of the Central Kitchen rescue, the humanitarian aid, bothers me. How do we make sure that, you know, we don't give aid that isn't meeting all the international and American laws? I think that that matters. But I don't want to see anybody else die. And I keep saying this, a Jewish baby and a Palestinian baby are all babies. And we are really, the Middle East is a tinderbox right now. And we have got to find a way to de-escalate what is happening.
I agree with you, not 100%, but 1,000%. And you and I, no matter how bad things might appear or seem, could never see ourselves yelling, death to America. Nor did I want to live to see the day that I would see that happening all across America with misguided Americans. I just, you know, don't understand it.
And, you know, here's, I'm going to, I debated when it happened, because I was asked by one newspaper outlet, what did I want to say? You know, when we all comment on it, you keep the story going. So, I mean, it's just, and by the way, the young person that was there was giving me grief. No, not such a young person anymore. And the mayor of Dearborn has made it very, very clear he should have stopped it as
right.
it happened.
Right.
Although I want to say, while the person that was the speaker up at the mic didn't stop it, I do believe it was a troublemaker in the audience, which the mayor has showed me, that started the chant and was trying to cause trouble. And it was inappropriate, shouldn't have been done. And but we can't tar everybody in Dearborn with somebody trying to, you know, a lot of people in Dearborn have stood up and said how wrong it was.
But it does give us an idea. Here we have the mayor. Mayor Duggan did a great job last night. If you haven't seen his State of the City address, he was spectacular, I thought. But he's also saying Detroit, as he said, will reintroduce itself during the NFL draft. None too soon, because we just introduced ourselves to the country again as the place, Dearborn, where they're saying death to America, which is just wrong.
One person did that. We cannot let that Dearborn said death to America. I've lived there. I know the people of Dearborn. They do not feel that way. They're proud to be Americans.
I know that. We've had Osama Siblani. We've had a number of people we've talked to. But it's sad that we have to talk about that. Real quick, will you support House Speaker Mike Johnson if those crazy Republicans try to get rid of him?
I think we are all trying to figure out what's really going to happen and how it's going to happen.
But you're one of the Democrats I know that has reached across the aisle. Another
Can
Democrat
I say
said,
something to you, Paul W. I can't comment on that, because if I commented on that, it could hurt him. I don't want to hurt anybody. Let's see how this all unfolds. That's how bad it is in this country.
This is how bad it is in this country. The amount of time spent on persecuting and prosecuting a former president, the amount of time spent on the Republicans trying to one up the Democrats and the Democrats trying to one up the Republicans, the amount of time spent on things that do not help our country is unbelievable. How about this? It's on page 4. Fraud may cost the federal government up to $521 billion every year. Do you know how much money that is? Even in this bloated economy, $521 billion annually through fraud. That's what the people in Washington should be working on to help the American people.
I agree. You know I agree.
Okay. Always love you. Always like talking with you. Thanks for the birthday
greeting. Happy birthday. I hope you're going to have a great one. If I was home and not here, we'd do something, but I'm here fighting for the country that I love. And I'm going to close with this. Happy birthday, and remind this country, united we stand, divided we fall.
Thank you, Congresswoman Debbie Dingell, as we continue in focus with Paul W. Smith at WJR. So nice to have you with us, and to introduce our next guest, our first real conversation, first opportunity with a gentleman who is a neuroscientist, academic leader, concussion researcher of great note. He's, in fact, the winner of the prestigious MacArthur Fellowship Award for his innovative work on the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of sport-related concussions. And he happened to be named the president of Michigan State University and started that job March 4th of this year. It is with a great deal of pleasure and an honor to welcome Dr. Kevin Guskowitz from the Michigan State University to the Paul W. Smith Focus Show. Doctor, welcome.
Thanks so much, Paul W., if I may. I understand that, that's what you like to go by, and it's an honor to be with you today.
You can call me whatever you'd like, but Paul or Paul W. is preferred around these places for people I get to spend some time with, and I sure hope that we get to spend time with you. As you know, I'm sure people have told you already, WJR Radio and Michigan State have a very important long-term relationship.
I've heard that, and I look forward to, hopefully this is the first of many opportunities to spend some time together. And I'm a big believer in partnerships, and there's a lot of great things happening here on campus, and I'll always welcome the opportunity to spend some time to get the great word out of the amazing things that are happening here.
We will always welcome you for that. And speaking of great partnerships, you've got a great one going with Henry Ford.
We do. We're really excited about the Henry Ford Health Partnership, Henry Ford MSU, as we're calling it. And I think this is the catalyst for change. It's reimagining how we think about, innovate, and deliver health and wellness to our communities. And no more important community than that in the surrounding Detroit area, metropolitan area, and the great work that it happens across the state of Michigan, and we need to make sure we have a healthy community across the state. We're going to work really hard alongside Henry Ford Health to make new discoveries through research, but make sure we have the clinical care that's needed to take care of our Michiganders.
And I'd be remiss if I didn't bring up the relatively new relationship that MSU has with our Golden Tower of the Fisher Building in the heart of the New Center area in Detroit.
Yeah, we're happy to be a part of that. There's a lot that's happening in that region. I've spent a lot of time with Bob Riney, the CEO there, and who's really excited. I know he said this is one of the most important projects that he'll be a part of in his role. But I think building out the research that's happening there and the impact that it'll have as a researcher myself, a clinical researcher myself, I believe this is the responsibility of a great public research university like Michigan State University.
Dr. Kevin Guskowitz with us, the new president of Michigan State University. And you've been on a listening and learning tour in this first month and a half. How's that been going?
It's great, Paul. We've had, I think I'm now had about 21 stops on a 48-stop a listening and learning tour across all the colleges and administrative units. Still have several to go, but I think my biggest takeaway so far is that this university has so many great stories to tell, especially when it comes to our, again, groundbreaking research, innovative teaching and learning, that a lot of that work happens through interdisciplinary initiatives that I think is unique to Michigan State. A lot of institutions that I'm familiar with, they sort of work in silos. And I think the way that we identify and ultimately solve the grand challenges that we face is to work across these disciplines. And, you got to have the sciences, the biomedical researchers working closely with our humanists and our music and arts scholars to better appreciate, the new technologies, new medical interventions, et cetera. So I'm excited.
Well, I'm excited. Here, let's bring the music down. I have to take him a little longer because there's two other things. One is I am impressed with the confidence one has to have to step into this great university that's been racked with problems, a number of them over the last few years. And certainly you were well aware of that, but you are confident that you can overcome these things and start a really new day that all the students and alums certainly deserve at Michigan State University.
It's a great question, and the answer is yes. I'm a believer in looking toward the future with on the side of every challenge or multiple opportunities, and I'm already identifying those opportunities. And one of them we just talked about with Henry Ford, and we've got a great opportunity here with our new Engineering and Digital Innovation Center that's going to help create new jobs and prepare our graduates for an evolving workforce for jobs and careers that don't even yet exist today. And so the future is bright for Michigan State, and we're focused on the future and all the positive opportunities that are there.
You will find us to be willing and able partners to help you in any and every way we possibly can. And congratulations on graduating 9,000 Spartans, I think, next Friday with commencement. And one of the guest speakers I wholeheartedly endorse, and I'm thrilled to hear that Mark D'Antonio is going to be one of your special speakers for graduation.
Coach D'Antonio is an amazing Spartan, as you know, and I had a chance to have dinner with him in Minneapolis back during the Big Ten men's basketball tournament. And he and I gave a talk years ago in Dallas, Texas at a coaches convention. There were about 5,000 coaches at the Anatole Hotel there. They were there to listen to him, but I was invited to talk on sport-related concussions right before him. I was his opening act, and we certainly didn't know each other then, but let me just say that I think they were there to listen to Coach and not me. But that was the beginning of sort of our relationship, and I'm so thrilled he's still part of the Spartan community here.
Don't sell yourself short. Your influence on the guidelines for concussion protocols in the NFL and in college ball are spectacular and life-saving, and we congratulate you for that. We congratulate you for the new job as president of Michigan State University. Stay in touch, sir.
Thanks so much, Paul W. Looking forward to it.
As we continue in focus on WJR, we should be proud. Of all the things that started in the great state of Michigan, there's a long list, but two of them come to my mind right now. One with Steve Kiefer, who lost his son Mitchell to a distracted driver, a young girl driving the car, paying attention to her phone, texting, doing whatever she was doing, ran into the back of Mitchell's car, pushed him into oncoming traffic, and he died. There are a number of ways you can react to that, but Steve Kiefer reacted to starting the Kiefer Foundation and getting things done to try to stop distracted driving. Same thing happened many years ago when Randy Galeri contacted us. He told us the story of his daughter, Kimberly Ann, and he told us the story of what he wanted to do through the Kimberly Ann Foundation, and that is to get a way to deal with cardiac arrest by putting AEDs into high schools. And because of Randy, we have this month of April as Michigan Student Athlete Cardiac Awareness Month. And it has also saved lives and has had a movement across the country. And Randy, I must tell you, we were here from the beginning with you. How long ago was that?
That was 24 years ago, Paul, April 1st, 2000. Wow. Thank you for everything that you've done to help us, too. It's been a long go. What we've done is we've donated 850 AEDs to high schools throughout the state of Michigan. And really what our plan was a bottom-up plan. We thought about top-down and maybe trying to get a bill passed back in 2000, but it wasn't really the right time. So our objective was to kind of flood the market, flood the schools with AEDs, to change the culture so that AEDs were the norm. Back when we lost Kimmy, none of the schools had AEDs. And so now we believe just about every school in Michigan has an AED. And frankly, I was in Lansing yesterday because they had a bill that was in front of the House Health Policy Committee, House Bill 5527, that will require the placement of AEDs in all schools. And I testified in support of that bill. It's a great bill. I would ask all your listeners to contact their state representative and state senators to pass that bill when it comes up for a full vote. It was passed out of committee, and this will require all schools to have AEDs and have them in accessible locations, which is really what our objective was from day one.
We remind people, and I and what's so great about people like yourself and Steve Kiefer I mentioned earlier is that it's not easy to talk about these things, because you bring back this horrific moment when your daughter Kim, or as you say, Kimmy, and I understand, was a member of the Troy Athens girls water polo team. She was in excellent physical condition. She'd been a swimmer at the Detroit Golf Club on their team since she was 4 years old.
That's correct.
And she was stricken, and there was no AED in sight, and she died. And you know, we know, that if in fact there had been an AED, she probably would have lived. And I remember 24 years ago you telling me, and I found it hard to believe, that when you would go to schools and offer to give them AEDs, that you'd raise the money for yourself, some schools refused them.
Yeah, that was that did happen a few times, and I can be pretty convincing, because I would typically say, look, okay, just think about being in court sometime when you lost a student to a sudden cardiac arrest, and that you had the opportunity to have an AED donated to your school at no charge with training for five staff members, and you decided that wasn't such a good idea to do. What do you think about that now?
It usually works. You can be very convincing. And some of them were doing it based on what their lawyers said. Oh, you don't want to get involved. Oh, that's not your work. That's not your job. You'll only get in trouble. I'm glad you were able to show them the light. And did you say to me that most all schools now have them?
Yes.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yes. That would not have happened without you.
Well, we don't really think too much about that. We just wanted to get it done. And the key is, though, one AED is not enough. So you have to be able to get the AED from wherever it's located to where someone has a cardiac arrest within a couple minutes. So if you have a large school with outdoor activities, you got to have AEDs outside. You got to have one in the pool. You got to have one in the gym. So you need at least three, and you should have one to go on the bus when the team's going to an away game.
I got to tell you something that people made fun of me about, but I carried an AED in my bag when I went to daughter Sophie, who celebrates her birthday tomorrow. When I went to her soccer games or any games she was involved with, I had a portable AED in my bag for any of those kids because of you. Let me just, how do people get involved with the Kimberly's Gift Gala Friday, May 3rd at the Detroit Golf Club? What do they have to do? We're running out of time.
You can contact our office, which is 248-528-0440. We'd love to have anybody attend who'd be willing to support our mission, and be happy to talk to them.
Kimberly'sGift.org. KimberlysGift.org is another place. KimberlysGift.org. Or 248-528-0440, 248-528-0440. Randy Glary, I continue to salute you in any way we can help you these 24 years later. Please let us know.
Thank you, Paul. I really appreciate that. Have a great day.
You have a great day. These are parents, fathers in this case, who've taken their suffering and are doing everything they can to be sure that none of the rest of us have to go through it. As we continue in Focus on WJR. Well, the seated jurors are apparently falling like flies. I have not been able to follow it because I have been doing my assigned duties on the radio. But I look up at my monitors with the closed captioning on. What an invention. And I see this, that the jury selection continues in historic Trump trial. There's also anti-Israel protests at Columbia University, and the jury is down to five after 3 days, after two jurors were excused. And I don't even know if that counts the one that had denied, had lied, I think under oath. I think they have to swear in when they say they didn't do anything on social media that had anything to do with Donald Trump. And then they said, well, here's one that you say, like, death to Donald Trump or something foolish
lock
like that.
Lock him up, it said, I think.
You know, lock him up. And he goes, oh, I forgot about that. Yeah. Okie dokie. The team is here. You heard from our executive producer, Mike Parsons. Yep, the same Mike Parsons first thing in the morning, 5 to 6. Danielle Mason running all our controls, and Rich Luzinski, WJR Traffic and Weather First. I hope you're streaming us, too, at WJR.com, or the WJR app is great to have. And you can get our podcast. Listen to the show if you can't be here between noon and 2. Very quickly, again, we had Randy Galeri on, the Kimberly Ann Galeri Foundation. Kimberly's Gift Gala is Friday, May 3rd at the Detroit Golf Club. Kimberly'sGift.org, KimberlysGift.org, or 248-528-0440, 248-528-0440.
And we'll link that address on the podcast once we post it, so people
can
go
you
to
do
the
that?
Website.
That would be great.
I figured it out finally.
Oh, well, excellent. That would be great. That's very helpful. Thank you for that. So even more reason to go to WJR.com. And go under podcasts. It's down at the bottom. Hit that and find me and Focus and all of us. Dow CEO promotes clean energy initiatives, sustainability, profitable, he tells the Economic Club. And he being the Dow CEO, Jim Fitterling, who we started our show off with yesterday, all round good guy. I mentioned earlier, right at the beginning of the show, that Mayor Duggan knocked it out of the park. Knocked it out of the park. He does such a great job in doing this State of the City address, and there's lots to be proud of. And he again reminds us we're reintroducing ourselves to the world during the NFL draft. Last time they were here, things are even better. And the next time they'll be here, things will be even better. If I start listing all of them, I'll miss something. There's lots. We'll be underscoring them. Bill Ford talking about the Google drone tests for Michigan Central Station. How about that? A place where it made its name with trains making their way through the station. Now the drones and drone training. Amazing stuff. And I said to Congresswoman Dingell, and this is such a little thing, but instead of wasting all the time the Democrats and Republicans do in Washington, how about working on the story that's been buried in page 4? Fraud may cost the federal government up to $521 billion, not just this year, every year. The U.S. government may lose between $233 and $521 billion to fraud each year. How about working on that, you men and women in Washington that we sent to make America great and better? Instead of the petty stuff that you're doing to try to prevent elections being free and clear. Now, don't get me started. All right. So, yes, as has been pointed out, this is my 50th birthday today for the 21st time. So I appreciate that. And no one has given me a gift like Marie Osborne, who has presented to me an ad from the 1970s for clothing, if I need to get any clothing. It's men's short and long sleeve business shirt sets, $2.99 each. And there are two dandies, two fellows with short sleeve shirts, ties, shorts, high socks, where they look like they're in Bermuda, don't they? They look like they're in Bermuda, but I love the cost. Fashion ties, $3.99. Fashion shorts, $7.99. Leather belts, $2. Socks, 99 cents. What store was this, Marie?
70s never looked better, did they?
No.
No, I don't.
They never looked good either. But
I don't know where that ad was from. I swiped it from the internet like everybody does.
Well done.
When I saw that, I thought, oh, this just reminds me of Paul W. I've got to send it to him.
Well, I'm glad you did. Thanks for the birthday wishes. And thanks for what you're doing now, which is reminding us all with the NFL draft coming up this next week. preparations in full gear. That includes art installations around the city, restaurants pulling out all the stops to welcome everybody from around the corner and around the country. WJR senior news analyst Marie Osborne continues her look at some of the interesting things unfolding around the city of Detroit. Marie?
And Paul, have you seen the cleats that they've put in at this around the city? There's 20 of them. I don't know, maybe you've seen them downtown.
I've heard about them, have not seen them.
Yeah, you have to look around, but they're down there. There's 20 of them, in fact. And I'll tell you about one in particular. Each one of these cleats is 5 feet tall. It's painted by a different Detroit artist. The installation is called Decleated, and the project was led by City Walls in the city of Detroit. Right outside of Huntington Place, you're going to find a cleat that was designed by Detroit artist Philip Simpson. And he says his piece is all about love.
Bright clouds, you got the sunshine. And I typically add smiles and butterflies in my work. And just the smiles just represents kindness and joy. The butterflies represents freedom.
And Simpson actually makes a living as an artist. So this was a huge honor, he says, to be chosen to paint the cleat. And he's absolutely humbled by the experience.
Oh, my goodness. Listen, I got a chance to take my family downtown to see it. And it's a joy that when you have people sending you pictures like, hey, I went downtown and took a picture next to the cleat.
And he's so proud of that. So those cleats will eventually be available for purchase through an online auction. I'll tell you about that in a second. Meanwhile, the restaurants, they've been in high gear preparing for these 400,000 expected visitors, maybe more. Chef Jordan Hoffman with Park 220 Merrill and Experience Zuzu says they're ready.
I think we've all been preparing. I know that myself at my restaurant, we've been preparing for month upon month to make sure that we can handle this influx.
And he says he hopes people will take advantage of the diverse food culture that we have in this city, starting with Coney's and pizza and all of it. He says everyone, he says, will be on their toes to give the very best experience possible.
We're ready and eager to just kind of have everybody who's walking around the streets come take an opportunity to come see our spaces, come enjoy our food, enjoy our hospitality, and enjoy the city of Detroit.
Now back to the cleats for a second. They are all, this is all for charity, so that makes it cool. Bidding starts at $2,500 per cleat, and you can purchase it outright for $10,000.
Yikes!
It's for charity, Paul.
I know. All of it goes to the area.
All of it goes
area
to the
charities.
20 charities, so they're going to make some money on this. And what a great conversation starter, right? If you have a business anywhere in the metro area, to put something like that out in front of your store that's painted so beautifully. So you can go to visitdetroit.com. It's visitdetroit.com. They have a little tab there for the NFL cleats. Or you can go to WJR.com and we'll have the full story there and you can kind of make your way over to Visit Detroit through that way.
And I'm glad you reminded us. VisitDetroit.com is the place to go to get your free pass for all the activities. No charge. Don't let anyone charge you anything. There's no charge. So go to VisitDetroit.com. Everything's self-explanatory. If I can do it, you can do it. And this City Walls and City of Detroit, good for them for the Decleated project. With all that money going to area charities, was I overreacting, or did Mayor Mike Duggan hit it out of the park yesterday?
You know what? I just love listening to him. He is a great communicator.
He is a
great communicator. And I've thought that from the very beginning. And you know, we're in radio, we're communicators. And when you see somebody who's that gifted, you really have to take a note of that.
We are so lucky to have him as our mayor. I wish he were in Washington, D.C. communicating. I mean, you get some of these guys to communicate. It's a joke.
Right.
Anyway, you don't have to say that because you're a news person. But I can say it because I'm just a talk show host. God bless you, Marie, and thanks for
the birthday.
Thank you. I appreciate that very much. Marie Osborne, WJR senior news analyst, all-round nice person, as we continue on WJR. I wish I had my drum set in the studio. I'd play along with that just for the heck of it. Like in the old days in the garage band. When we couldn't afford equipment, when we got older and could afford equipment, we couldn't take the time to have a band. Sad. Unless we were the Beatles, Rolling Stones, and any number of other big bands that have made their mark in our musical history. Nolan Findlay makes his mark all the time in the newspaper. If without Nolan Findlay writing and being the editorial page editor of the Detroit News, really my boss for my measly little Monday column, Out of My Mind on a Monday Morning from Bob Talbert days. I think I just got a note from Lynn Talbert. That Lynn Talbert, Bob's wife. What a lovely note, Lynn. God bless you. I've got to call you and thank you for that. But be that as it may, we wouldn't know that I'm about to introduce a guy who has more incandescent light bulbs stored in his basement than maybe anyone in the country, and has already announced with his very, very old, rusty pickup truck that he would like to be taken to his own funeral in the back of that truck. Nolan Findlay is the man. Nolan,
Paul,
who knew? Who knew?
I got the Fort Knox light bulbs. I was so resentful when they phased out the old-style light bulbs in favor of those twisty models that I went out and bought up, I think, every light bulb within a five-mile radius.
And whichever ones you did not buy, Frank Beckman, may he rest in peace, bought. Because he was on the same page with you.
Probably bequeathed them to somebody. I think they're worth their weight in gold, and that's all I use. I believe I've got enough to carry me right on to the end. But we'll see.
There's nothing wrong with the new light bulbs. They last longer. They're a good, bright light. What's the matter? I mean, I know I didn't like it when the government told us we had to do it. I don't like it when the government tells us anything.
I don't like the government telling me what I can put in my socket. And I think they were a lot more expensive. I mean, these incandescent bulbs I've got stacked up hardly cost anything.
Well, you got to be careful.
When you take those bulbs to
Detroit Edison,
and they give you new bulbs for free.
It's so funny. It's so funny you say that, because in Monroe, it was a big deal. I loved doing it with my mother, Sweet Marie. We would go to the Detroit Edison office, the building. You'd give them a bag of light bulbs that had burned out. They will pour them into this little chute, and then the bottom would fall out of the chute, and the bulbs would disappear underneath, and they'd hand us all brand new light bulbs. I remember that it happened yesterday.
Now you go to Home Depot and you're paying $20 for a stinking light bulb.
Well, but I do think they're pretty good light bulbs, and I do think they last a long time. Seems to me they last a longer
time. That's probably true, Paul. My point was, they're doing the same thing. They're fixing to do the same thing with pickup trucks, and I've always only driven pickup trucks. And like you said, I've got a rusty one on my farm in Kentucky, and I got a newer model here that I drive every day. And I don't want to be, I don't want to be without a truck. And I think as the fleet electrifies, you're already hearing complaints and pushback from the environmentalists and safety advocates that the electric pickup trucks are too heavy. They're going to be too dangerous on the roads, and that their batteries.
Well, don't make them electric. Keep them internal combustion engines, for God's sakes.
Exactly.
I
don't like being told, what we can do, what we can't do in every aspect of our lives by federal regulators.
People used to buy pickup trucks when they knew they would never use a pickup truck to be a pickup truck. They just wanted a pickup truck.
That's right.
It's like buying off-road vehicles and never going off-road.
No,
you have every right to do that. You have a right to do that.
Exactly. It's not what everybody always ask me, what do you need a big pickup truck for? And I drive a big one. And I said, I don't. I don't need one at all. I want one. And, that's the benefit of living here and not
listen,
Russia.
Again, back to Frank Beckman. He drove a huge pickup truck to the point of where, since I got in earlier than he did generally, I was always worried he was going to hit my car when he parked that pickup truck. It was a massive pickup truck. I think he got away from him later in life. I think he maybe realized this thing is too big. Anyway, you know what I like? I like many things about you, Nolan Findlay. Certainly what you write, how you think, always. And you're never far from your Kentucky roots. You still have the farm in Kentucky. You still love bourbon. And you're the only guy I know who says they're fixing to do away with pickup trucks.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
I haven't heard anyone say that since you. But meanwhile, let's talk a little bit. Am I overreacting saying that Mayor Mike Duggan is unbelievably good at giving a state of the... How can the music be starting already? We just started talking.
Come on.
Mike Duggan did a great job last night. Didn't the mayor do a great job?
He did, you know, and he's practicing his stump speech for his gubernatorial run. I think that's where this is headed.
Wait a minute. Stop the presses. What? Yeah. You think for sure he's going to run for governor?
I'm pretty convinced, and I think he doesn't deny it. We talked to him, you know, for a Detroit Public Television special aired last week, you know, and he said he'll tell us this summer whether he's going to run or not.
You see, he's not term limited as mayor, is he?
No, there is no term limit.
But the governor is term limited.
Yep.
For two terms.
It's opening in 2026, that I would expect his name to be on that Democratic ballot.
Well, I think he'd be a great governor. He'd be a great anything. It's kind of like Candace Miller. She would have been a great anything.
Oh, boy.
Can you imagine? And I
can
only imagine. And I'd say the same thing for Mike Duggan. Democrat, Republican, conservative, liberal, I think he's very good. All right, well, we're out of time, Nolan. I don't run this thing. It's just I do what I'm told. Thank you for being with us. We'll be looking for you in the Detroit News, my friend.
Happy birthday, brother.
Oh, thank you very much, Nolan. Nolan Findlay, Detroit News, WJR. Just a reminder, we have done so well. We, Detroit, have done so well in so many ways with those USA Today various things, the best places for this or that. We just got another great award, and so here's another one that we want to vote for. America's Best Places, the Campus Martius just won, right? That was just this week, I think, that we announced that. But anyway, USA Today now is asking for nominations, and we should nominate the Ford Fireworks as one of America's best places to see fireworks. It really is. And Tony Michaels, the president and CEO of the Parade Company, and all of us on the board for the Parade Company, everybody's trying to get this award, another award for Detroit. It all is good. Go to theparade.org, theparade.org, and vote for our Ford Fireworks as the best place to see fireworks. That'd be great to do that. The names, Justin Schilling, Madison Baldwin, Hannah St. Juliana, Tate Mear. These are names that we will always remember as the four students who lost their lives during the Oxford High School shooting. We want to remember some other things, some positive things, and some ways that you can be a part of a foundation that is remembering and helping students. The Chooch Foundation. And Chooch, from what I understand, was Justin Schilling's nickname. The Chooch Foundation stands for Caring, Helping Others, Often Creates Hope. Craig Schilling, the father of Justin Schilling, is on the other end of my line right now, and there's nothing I can say or anyone can say to help you through all of this, but you know you have our condolences, our prayers, and certainly right now our attention on this event, Craig Schilling, that you want to tell us about. Good afternoon.
Oh, good afternoon. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate your kind sentiments there.
Well, it's my pleasure. Call me Paul. I'm going to call you Craig. We're going to remember Justin. We're going to remember those other kids. And this is a bowling tournament. Tell us about it.
Yes, it is a bowling tournament. My son spent several years on the bowling team. It was a family fun event that we would do all the time. And so we thought we would we'd carry it on and, you know, have a bowling tournament in his name. It's a scholarship tournament for student level youth middle school and high school level. And then it's a cash tournament for adults. It's taking place this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. Saturday is the qualifying, the four games qualifying for the youth and the high school bowlers. And then Sunday morning is the adult qualifier. And then Sunday afternoon is when we'll do the bracket style roll off and for the champion. So we're pretty excited.
I can only imagine. Justin's Oxford High School bowling coach, I think it's J.R. Lafnir, he said, quote, "Justin's big claim to fame with bowling is that he brought joy to everyone around him when he was bowling. And you have a story, Dad, that that led to the story of your son coming in very nonchalant, eating a little food and bowling a 257. Can you tell us that?
Yeah, no, it was on a mom's weekend, and they had gotten the time mixed up a little bit, so they showed up an hour late. They came in, everybody was already bowling. They went through like the team bowling event, so then it went into an individual bowling, and coach said, "Well, you're here, you might as well jump in there." And so he went in, and he just ended up bowling his best game ever, 257. He ended up getting, during the course of that game, got 6 strikes in a row. And because he got it was a high game for him for the year, and he was only one of two that year that got 6 in a row.
As I understand it, though, the point I want people to understand is that he was so nonchalant, he walked in eating Taco Bell, and he continued eating his Taco Bell and got that 257, and they came up then with the Taco Bell award from your son.
Yeah, it was pretty great because he was had a crunch wrap coming in the morning. The coaches thought that was pretty funny, and they decided to start the Taco Bell Award, which is just like a $25 Taco Bell gift certificate for anybody who bowls, gets 6 strikes in a row during the course of the season. So, yeah, it's evolved from then. And they get a new hat. They got nice hats that you get to wear for pose for pictures, and they got little Chihuahua stuffed animals that you get to hoist around a little bit. So it's fun. It's fun for the kids. And especially at that young of an age, you know, where getting into bowling it's another sport that, you know, not really popular, but it's welcoming. They bring everybody in, and they, you know, they give them a lot of structure and a lot of guidance. And it really helps develop the youth and at that time in their life.
Craig Schilling, father of Justin Schilling. How did Justin become known as Chooch as a nickname?
Oh, it's just something that I just walked into it one day, and I had got home, and my wife at the time was had just spat it out there like it was a common thing, and it was just from then on out, it just started. I thought it was a nice little nickname, and but it's always one that I will forever compare with my son. It will always be with him, and it will always be his name for as far as I'm concerned. So being able to do the foundation and breaking it down to an acronym was just a bonus.
And this Saturday and Sunday, the Chooch Foundation is inviting everyone to Century Bowl in Waterford to take part in this bowling tournament to raise funds for the Chooch Foundation, again hosted by Century Bowl on Highland Road in Waterford, $30 per bowler, with the finals April 21st at noon. 4 tournaments in 1, youth division, high school, college, and adults. Each competitive level, 4 games qualifying, top 16 advance, top 4 per division receive prize money. It's going to be a lot of fun, and for a wonderful cause with the raffles and the auctions and 50-50s and everything else that goes into it. God bless you, Craig Schilling, and thank you for continuing taking your suffering and the suffering of others and trying to make something good of it. We appreciate that.
Well, thanks for having me on again there, Paul. I appreciate you guys.
Well, we appreciate you, and we'll never forget those 4 kids and their families as we continue in Focus on WJR. Bop-boo-da-doo-da-doo-doo. It's a lovely day. I don't know where this 30s comes from. I mean, what the heck is he talking about? The 30s? We just want... What's that? All right. So What about 71? It's not 71. It was 61 last I checked. But anyway, whatever it is, we're nowhere near the 30s, but that's what he's talking about. We just, I don't care what happens in the next couple of days. I just want to make sure we have nice, beautiful weather so the world can see how beautiful the city of Detroit is. Along with all the things that the mayor talked about that have been improved, I want them to see these things and enjoy themselves. And I know all of us will enjoy this next week. Anyway, stay tuned to WJR and you won't miss a thing. That we promise you. Quickly, well, let me do this. Let me just say hi to Chris Renwick because he's ready. I see his ankles are already taped and ready for JR Afternoon with Chris Renwick. Chris, a couple of things I want to bounce off of you. May I do that?
Yeah, but first, can I please wish you a happy birthday?
No, I'm sorry, you cannot.
Then I retract that. Danielle, dump it, please. Get that out of here.
You know what? Little inside radio. When he says Danielle, dump it, she actually has a button to press, and she can dump whatever was just said on the air. But she has to make a move within, what is it, 10 seconds?
Yeah, something.
7 seconds? She has to make quick decisions.
It's a safety measure if somebody says an uh-oh word.
Like either one of us. We could say an uh-oh word at any time, and we don't want to do that because we really need these jobs.
So happy birthday, my friend.
Thank you. That's very, very kind of you. I appreciate that, and I appreciate the way Mike Parsons has put it on my rundown. Paul's 50th birthday for the 21st time.
Hey, okay. Now. Very good.
And then Sophie will be 21 tomorrow. So
that's good.
Exciting.
Happy birthday to Soph.
Law enforcement agencies in at least 4 states reported 911 service interruptions last night. Does that worry anyone else?
Wow.
We're talking about South Dakota, Texas, Nebraska, Nevada having outages on 911. This can't be a coincidence. This must be showing us what people with nefarious ideas and all kinds of problems with America could do simply. I mean, this was simply done and affected all these people.
Yeah, it's troubling. You know, we hear all the time, well, is our grid prepared for a cyber attack? And if widespread outages stretch into days and weeks, it's such a huge problem. If you can't call emergency services, then
that's a problem.
It is a huge problem, Paul. No, I'm with you. It's an issue.
All right. I wanted to get that off.
Was there a reason that they cited?
I have not seen a reason stated.
Okay.
It's very bizarre, though, because
they
said they could tell when people were trying to call in, they just couldn't answer, but they could call the people back.
Hmm.
That's bizarre. And that's a recipe for disaster, because if enough people are calling, you can't possibly keep track and call back.
So authorities say that there's no cause for a service disruption in several states.
Yeah, that's just not true.
How do you not know that?
There is a cause. They just don't know what it is yet.
Oh, boy.
And I, of course, immediately think the worst, because that's my job, is to think the worst. All right, I'm going to move on from that. This is very good news. And, two things. Dick Hafner had a story today with a doctor talking about brain damage from all of us using the digital equipment, like our computers, our phones. I mean, have they really come up with factual evidence that we're all getting brain damage? I haven't seen any sign of brain damage from me. Oh, sorry. Dick Hafner, it probably will run during your show. Pay attention to it. We have to pay attention to see if we're all damaging our brains. They were talking about kids. I think we should worry about the kids, but we have to worry about us, too. But the other thing that Dick Hafner would really like is a place he turned me on to called Buc-ee's.
Oh, it's one of my favorite places on earth.
Well, I've never been. I think Dick got me a Buc-ee's coffee cup from there. There's a word out there that a very suspicious billboard has Michigan motorists very excited and confused, basically leading us to believe there may be a Buc-ee's in Michigan's future. And from what I hear from you guys that love Buc-ee's, this is fabulous news.
Well, I don't think so. They're building another one. The closest one that will be to us is in Dayton, Ohio. I believe
not close enough.
I know. Right now, the closest one is in Kentucky, I believe just south of Lexington. So the Buc-ee's is a Southern thing. And their calling card is they have really clean bathrooms. And when I tell you, Paul, yeah, that I would eat a sandwich off of one of their bathroom floors.
Okay, wait a minute.
I'm not kidding. It is the cleanest public restroom that I've ever seen.
Well, that is a big sales point, but there are many sales points, I'm told, by Buc-ee aficionados. Was it you, Mike Parsons, that said the Disneyland of gas stations?
Yes.
That's how it's been described as to me. And my wife went last month, and she bought back these things called Buc-ee Beaver Nuggets.
Oh, they're silly.
I would be like 500 pounds if I had unfettered access to those. They are addictive.
What are Buc-ee?
They're like puffed corn balls that are like covered in like a thin layer of caramel.
Yes, like they're big corn pops, and yeah, it's like they're caramely and sweet, and it's heaven in a bag.
They apparently have a very large selection of beef jerky.
Yes, also very good.
And
have? They also have fresh barbecue. And look, I'm a little bit of a barbecue snob. It's great. Great. They've like smokers out back with brisket. Oh, it's tremendous. And they've got about 150 gas pumps. It's like the size of a Target.
I was just about to say, it's an unimaginable number of gas pumps.
Yes.
Is what I've been told.
Yes. Wow. It's wild. I mean, it's crazy.
I love to see it, but is this going to kill other gas stations anywhere in the area?
If there is I would imagine if there is a Buc-ee's in the vicinity, it probably attracts a lot of attention.
It would be hard to fight that.
Yeah.
150 pumps.
Let's do a road trip, Paul. Me and you, we'll go down to Buc-ee's. We'll get some snacks. It'll be a great time.
I've suggested in the past, the salespeople are listening, we ought to do a broadcast from the closest Buc-ee's, which it is hundreds of miles away at the moment. But certainly if they open one in Michigan, wherever it is, we should go and do a broadcast.
Let's do it.
There's a bunch of Buc-ee lovers, and we want to be them, too. Well, you already are. And you are already for your show. Coming up, it's JR Afternoon, the one and only Chris Renwick. On behalf of the team, the team, the team, Mike Parsons, Danielle Mason, Rich Luzinski, I thank you, the best and brightest audience in all of radio, for being with us today and every day, noon to 2, on WJR or stream us. Regards, Paul W. Smith.